welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. I hope everybody's having an absolutely terrific day down today. Everybody staying busy down here in Florida. How are you doing today, Dad?
Oh, absolutely blessed, Austin. I mean, blessed coming in, blessed going out. And I want to just say something real quick. You know, really be careful, you know, on what you speak and how you speak. Okay, I'm going to just say this for a second. This is going to be so important that I cover this right now. You know, you were bought at a price. Okay, you basically have given your life over to the Most High God through Jesus Christ. If you're born again, if you're saved, and you were bought at a price. Jesus paid the ultimate price for that. And we have hope and we have faith. And we have to be careful with the words that we speak. I mean, if you're going to speak that you're struggling through life or you're having all these financial difficulties, and you keep speaking that over and over and over again, guys, that's what you're going to get. You know, I had a friend of mine yesterday say something about how they were struggling. And I'm like, well, number one, you look at your cash flow. Number two, you need to go ahead and cut back on expenses if possible. And number three, you may have to liquidate some assets. And number four, you got to start speaking the right things. You know, I'm blessed beyond measure through Christ Jesus. I commit my plans to the Lord. They will succeed. You say, well, what does that all matter? Well, it's faith, guys. And the word, it tells us, in the Bible, it tells us that without faith, it's impossible to please God. And Jesus says, ask as if you've already received it in the past tense, and it will be given unto you. And see, that's the key we have to understand. And yesterday, I went into such detail on the show as far as unseen forces. And if you missed yesterday's show, it's one for the record books. And it's going to be one of those shows that when Austin and I have to take a day off or we actually want to go on vacation, which is like something that I don't really seem to do anymore, then what we'll do basically is we'll play a few of these green shows like this. But guys, yesterday's show, I went into detail on a lot of these unseen forces and what they do. But remember, greater is he who is in us than he is in the world. And, you know, you see all of this stuff with the negative news. I mean, we got Donald Trump turning complete turncoat as far as Second Amendment rights. I mean, to his daughter running around all over Congress, lobbying people to pass red flag gun laws so she can, as a communist, seize the weapons of the United States. Now they want to do full background checks, which include full registration of all weapons of the United States. I mean, this is nuts. And this is exactly what the Soviet Union did. This is exactly what Nazi Germany did. This is exactly what China, and all the countries that go in and start killing their people, they've got to register their weapons first, and they've got to do full background checks. Nothing that Trump has talked about will change the problems in this country. There's no way they're going to go house to house and start seizing all the weapons. Look at England. Now that they've got all the weapons they've tried to take, they still have hunting clubs and everything else in London and England. They still run around with swords and knives and acid. It's not good. People are weird, and they're given over to the dark side. We talked about that yesterday, and they do bad things. And the problem is when you take the guns away from the law-abiding citizens, they can't defend themselves against the people who do bad things. So we've got to try to figure out. So we think, what the heck, man? Why did Donald Trump turn? And I talked to a pastor friend of mine yesterday who's my White House contact, and he basically said that he is no longer going to support Trump, you know, unequivocally, if Trump keeps pushing this gun control. And Trump has a really big possibility of losing his base now, because these right-wing conservative Republicans who have put him in office, primarily Christians, we're all about our weapons and defending our families. And we wrap ourselves in the flag, and we wrap ourselves in nationalism. We don't want to be a statistic that some communist government killed us, like 150 million dead in Stalin's time. We don't want to be that. We want to continue to just grow in the things of the Lord and continue to be blessed in everything that we do, because our God is a God of abundance and blessings. And listen to yesterday's show to hear more about that. By the way, Project Veritas, Google whistleblower, has now gone public, and he says, I saw something dark and something nefarious going on. A Google whistleblower has gone public with claims of election manipulation and political bias, according to investigative journalism Project Group Veritas, which posted a trove of over 950 documents provided by Google insider Zachary Voorhees, who says he has come forward because he saw something dark and nefarious going on with the company, and he realized that they were going to not only tamper with elections, but use that tampering with elections to essentially overthrow the United States. You hear what I just said, friends? Overthrow the United States. So, I mean, this guy has come forward and has gone public with what he knows. He goes, I gave the documents to Project Veritas. I have been collecting the documents for over a year. And the reason why I collected these documents is because I saw something dark and nefarious going on with the company. If these documents were available to every single employee within the company, that was full-time. So as a full-time employee at the company, I just searched for some keywords, and these documents started to pop up. And so once I started finding one document, I started finding keywords for other documents that I would enter this it, and then the cycle continued until you had hundreds and hundreds of pages. These documents contain a number of files of concern for conservatives, one of which is called Black News Site for Google News, which Voorhees alleges is a blacklist that restricts certain websites from appearing on news feeds for some Android Google products. So this includes a number of both conservative and leftist websites, including newsbusters.org and mediamatters.org. The document states that some sites are added to the list because of the high user block rate. Another dominant titled Fringe Ranking Classifier Defining Channel Quality complies a ranking of various news sites by their level of trustworthiness. In the sample ranking show, the most trustworthy sites appear to be the Wall Street Journal, but whatever, while the Next News Network was least trustworthy, ranking just below Alex Jones. Breitbart News is ranked above the YouTube commentator Philip DeFranco, the Huffington Post, and the Young Turks, but below Russia Today and America CNN. What they're doing here is they're actually stopping people from finding articles online. That's the bottom line. They're not allowing you to have access to free information because they don't deem it something that you should be reading. And so this tower of Google is pretty doggone strong. Remember, Google, I talked about it yesterday, met with Obama hundreds of times in the White House, continues to meet with Donald Trump. They work together with Singularity University and NASA. I talked about this in depth yesterday as far as bringing in their new world order under Lucifer into a D-Wave computer system. It's all tied together. It's all satanic, all of it. You say, well, that sounds ridiculous, Ted. Well, okay, whatever, don't listen to it. But this whole thing is basically an orchestrated plan. Now, what's interesting about this, let me give you a little bit more what happened to this guy who basically turned over his information and what he said and all the stuff that's going on. He basically, you know, was just chilling out, but Google decided they were going to destroy him. This is what happened. And Google decided they were going to put him through what he basically would call a wellness check. Voorhees, listen to this, talks to James O'Keefe and Project Veritas shortly after Google had sent. Listen to this, had sent the FBI, the San Francisco police, a bomb squad, and a couple of snipers to his apartment to do a wellness check, cording off a three-block area. This is what they did, this guy's whistleblower. What happened to the protection for whistleblowers? And this is all the FBI, which is totally corrupt as far as I'm concerned. Maybe a few key people in it are okay, but the majority of it's corrupt. He says, the intent of this overkill was to elicit a response from him. In other words, he could start screaming, yelling, or perhaps brandish a weapon. I'm adding that. Whereby he could be deemed mentally unstable to help advance Google's legal case against him, or else to escalate the situation such that he might get shot and killed. Snipers? Because he's a whistleblower? Luckily, he acquitted himself with calm throughout the episode, as we see in the episode he did with Veritas. Guys, this is what's become of our government. Our government, we have allowed our government to come in and basically destroy our rights because of what we've done and who we put into power and who we put into elected office. We have allowed these guys to bring in these multinational corporations and international banking communities through lobbying efforts to completely skew and control the dynamics of our political situations here in the United States. We've allowed another company, the Rothschild Banking Enterprise, to come into the Exchange Stability Fund in 1934 and literally seize the treasury of the United States through the Federal Reserve Bank of New York. We've allowed all this to happen. We and our grandparents and our great-grandparents. Now, why was that so easy to do? Here's why it was easy to do. When the United States 100 years ago went into World War I and we won and we defeated the Germans, what ended up happening is a tremendous amount of national pride and nationalism was really, really birthed in the United States, and that our government could do anything as far as defeating any type of group or any person in the world, any dictator. So what ended up happening is we started believing the stories from the government. It was all part of this. All happened at the same time with Edward Bernays, the cousin of Freud, and his groupthink manipulation through mass media. And all of this stuff was used. When Germany attacked the Lusitania with submarine back during World War I, it had warned that Lusitania and these ships leaving were filled with armament from Great Britain, and they would basically be subject to attack. The Lusitania was almost brought to a complete stop, knowing there was a submarine out there, so it could be torpedoed and sunk. And it hit the ammunition stores, by the way, is why it sunk so quickly and killed all those people. And then they started demonizing the Germans because they had sunk down a ship that was filled with armament to kill Germans. Now think about this for a second. Austin and I have been to the Lusitania graveyard over there in England. And we've been there. We actually saw the graves where it said Lusitania. And they used this as a giant PR gimmick, so to speak. Not that it didn't happen, but they completely, and this is all done by Bernays and the groupies, to basically demonize the Germans. And it was so effective that, you know, the people in America were ready to go over and destroy Germany after World War One. The problem was there were protests all over the United States about World War One, about the United States getting involved in it. Why? Because a big chunk of the American population was German. All the Browns, pretty much, all the Smiths, Millers, look in the white pages of the old phone books, page after page after page. The majority of these people were from German descent. It was one of the largest ethnic groups in the United States because after the Civil War, when Lincoln, the great emancipator, the great murderer of the South and the murderer of the population of the United States, the great socialist, communist, Satanist of his wife was anyhow, they decided they were going to go ahead and, you know, destroy everything so we had to have a new population come into the United States because, you know, millions of people died when there were only a few million people there to start with. This is the problem that we've had with the government since Lincoln times. All of this is a continuation of Lincoln philosophy. And it goes on and on and on and on. So what ends up happening is we as Americans now are caught in this crossfire of this mess of all of these lies. And then what ended up happening is after World War One was over with, World War Two started, and the American people continued to believe that we could do anything in this country. And we trusted the government. We had no idea the government had been hijacked by the OSS and then the CIA and the banking cartels. And this is what, and we believed that the government was telling us was true. And then all of a sudden we had Vietnam, and we realized, hey, wait a minute, something ain't right. And the vast majority of us were completely unaware of the fact that the drugs coming in from Southeast Asia through the CIA. Then Kennedy wouldn't cooperate with them, so they ended up killing him. Then Nixon didn't want to cooperate with them, so they would have killed him, but they chose not to because of the Warren Commission, as far as I'm concerned, was such a debacle. They chose to discredit him and take him out and get him impeached. This is all of the stuff, and that's why he resigned. This is all what they did. Then Ronald Reagan comes in. He wants to do something right. They shoot him, with, you know, a couple of months within office when he gets into the office. All of these things are orchestrated by the folks that we talked about yesterday's show. And we need to understand something. Donald Trump now is, I'm going to say this, I'm coming out, just say it. Donald Trump is compromised. I personally believe now he has become a Rothschild cutout. Ooh, Ted, I can't believe you said that. Yeah, I'm saying that right now. Because of Wilbur Ross bailing him out back in the 80s with all his debt. I mean, he is going to the complete far left as far as gun control, gun confiscation, red flag laws, and registration, and background checks. I mean, this is nuts. You know, I mean, this is nuts. And as far as I'm concerned, and I told my pastor friend this yesterday, Austin, I said, if Hillary Clinton had won the White House, the American citizens would have been frosty. We would have been uptight about her being in, and we would have been calling our congressional leaders and throwing them out of office by the hundreds if they didn't listen. But because Donald Trump, because of his massive campaign rallying, has gone in and sparked a nerve in the nationalism of the United States, and people, because they want to believe him, are willing to give him a pass, just like they did George W. Bush. I'm not doing that again. And to me, at this point now, with him and his wretched daughter, this bimbo in the White House that nobody ever voted for, I could say a few other things, but I know this is a family show and I won't. She basically is determining policy for the United States of America by lobbying Congress people in the right now to pass the red flag gun laws. I mean, what the heck? What have we been sold? And I told my buddy, I said, you know what? I said, if we have a third party candidate that's a libertarian for the 2020 election, it's going to be hard for all of us who really know the truth about who and what Donald Trump is not to vote for this third party candidate. Because the reality is, even if we put a Democrat in office, they can't do what Trump did and is doing, because we'll stand against it. So what a mess we've gotten ourselves into, Austin, buddy. What do you think?
Oh, no doubt about it. I mean, it's very strange right now, because I saw the tweet that Trump made about Cuomo with the CNN thing that was so confusing to me. Is he being serious? Is he supporting this? Because he's saying that he's supporting red flag gun laws, but he's making statements like this. And like you said, with Ivanka, I don't remember ever voting for her. I don't remember ever asking for her opinion. I don't remember her ever actually doing anything legitimate in a government position in her entire life. All I know is she sold fashion clothes that her basically dad has helped fund her companies before in the past. That's it. She has no legitimate basis to be lobbying Congress, but remember who her husband is. Her husband is the all-powerful Jewish Kushner, who basically never got elected for anything either. Yet he has had carte blanche immunity to do whatever he wanted on almost every single global initiative that he has wanted, including going over to Saudi Arabia and meeting with leaders over there without even having the ambassador, the United States ambassador to Saudi Arabia present, ignoring him and blocking him out of the meeting. Done this numerous times in multiple Middle Eastern countries. So that's who she is. She's his wife. And so obviously they have an entire agenda and an entire initiative and pretty much carte blanche immunity with no oversight when whatever positions they're listed on is advisors or whatever they are. So be very, very keen on what's going on right now as far as all this stuff behind the scenes. Also, too, in other news, this is interesting that something as nobody has really wanted to talk about at all. You guys remember this alleged manifesto that was uploaded by the alleged shooter in El Paso was allegedly put up to message board 8chan. That's what they talked about the entire time. Jim Watkins, who is the owner of the message board 8chan online, wants to set the record straight with regarding to the shooting spree that was reported by the mainstream media in El Paso. The manifesto, which, according to the mainstream media, claims the El Paso shooter wrote prior to his violent shooting, 8chan was not the site where the manifesto was uploaded, Watkins contends. He is basically getting proof together now, as if you guys watched anything on this, the mainstream media eviscerated Jim Watkins and 8chan. The alleged shooter, though, allegedly uploaded the manifesto to Instagram first. This is interesting. You guys are going to like this, which is owned by Facebook, prior to when the attack was reported as having occurred. Later, someone else uploaded the post from Instagram onto 8chan. But most people don't know this because the mainstream media has failed to report the facts, and it appears intentionally. He goes on to say, Watkins goes, first off, the El Paso shooter posted on Instagram, not 8chan, allegedly. Later, someone else uploaded a manifesto. However, that manifesto was not uploaded by the Walmart shooter. I don't know if he wrote it or not, but it was not uploaded by the murderer whatsoever. This is clear, and law enforcement was made clear and aware of this before most people even heard of the horrific news. 8chan has been the target of a viral campaign aiming at removing it from the internet entirely over the last couple weeks. Cloudflare, a web security company, has agreed to drop 8chan, even though the site played no role whatsoever in the alleged shooting. It's just what the mainstream media has been telling everybody. So again, we have more lies from the mainstream media. We have zero evidence, by the way, still, that this was written by the alleged shooter, this manifesto. Zero evidence. And again, as I've told you guys before, clear-cut evidence that proves otherwise, in my opinion, is the fact that in this manifesto, it goes into detailed discussion on the rifle that he chose, the Wasser 10 AK variant, and the fact that he's going to have to run thick, heat-resistant gloves to have to deal with the overheating problems that that cheap gun is plagued with when he's dispensing so many rounds in his shooting. Yet we see the only photo that has still yet to be released from the entire incident is of some random individual that supposedly is the shooter walking in with an AK in his hand, not shooting around, not reloading, and sure as heck not wearing gloves. So again, we see more lies and more lies and more lies, yet this is being used to repeatedly eviscerate the conservatives, the white nationalists now that they're deeming anybody who's a white nationalist. This is being used, guys, and we have to understand what we are being hit with right now. Also, on top of that, Michael Daly from the left-wing site The Daily Beast is now coming out now, and I've seen this actually from multiple different news outlets. They're starting to imply this, that anyone who wants to buy or own a gun needs to have a psychological evaluation now. I kid you not, this is what they're now starting to push, and this is the same thing Dad talked about a second ago with the expanded background checks and all all the other stuff that they like to say and bring up, this is what they're going on to their next one. The red flag gun laws won't be the end of it, guys, if they get this stuff into place. The expanded background checks would generally help, but would not have prevented either of the recent mass shooters from acquiring their weapons, Michael Daly says. So he cites a 2-year-old paper from Dr. Kalavite, who argues a proposal to integrate mental health assessment and access of guns. He quotes, and I say, any person who seeks to purchase a gun or any type of firearm will be required and should be required to obtain a standardized psychological assessment from a licensed doctor level mental health specialist. The sole objective of the assessment is to identify factors that may be particularly related to an impairment that could be related to harm oneself or others before purchasing a firearm. Blatantly, what they're saying is now they want to put something in place that they give the state carte blanche immunity to deny you from getting your Second Amendment, or excuse me, from exercising a right of owning a firearm by deeming it basically, this doctor said you're not mentally stable. No crime, no evidence of anything. Simply, that doctor says, you're not stable enough to own a firearm. And that's it. Hands down. Done. You're banned from buying a gun. The psychology is anything but exact science, and how can you use an inexact science with inexact indicators as a definitive measure for mental health? Denying people the guns based on that premise, you'd have to be crazy to want one in the first place, could be an excuse. So very much so, you could see this turning sideways and them coming out and saying, hey, the fact that you even want to buy a gun right now, and the fact that you want to buy this particular gun, that begs the question if you're even mentally stable. You know, what do you need an AR-15 for? Why do you really need one? Do you really think you need one? Are you maybe a little bit having some mental issues, sir? You know, are you having some problems coping with things? This is why you want to have an AR-15? I think it's in my recommendation that you are not allowed any firearm purchases whatsoever. And on top of that, since we already have this law in the red flag gun law in place, I think I'm going to go ahead and notify law enforcement. The fact that you want an AR-15 brings me to give me enough of a conclusion that they need to red flag you and seize any other firearms you may have in the house because you're a danger to society because you even think you may want an AR-15. That's where the next step's going to go with this, guys, if we let it continue to go. So, I mean, it is imperative right now that we make sure we get this information out there. The chatter, the intel, the topics that get brought up online are all monitored on algorithms on a daily basis. The American population has so much strength, has so much manpower, and has so much firepower, it would be next to impossible to do anything as far as with gun confiscation in this country if we didn't want them or allow them to do it. Let me put that real clear. You've seen how Russians had their fact in Afghanistan, how that worked out for them. You see how the U.S. military had their time in Afghanistan, all these other countries. Trillions of dollars wasted. Trillions of dollars spent. Thousands and thousands of American lives lost to simply try to take over a sandbox country. Now you're dealing with the largest, most armed country in the entire world for population, and they think they're going to confiscate the firearms based on their opinion. We have to make it well known and very well known that we are not going to accept these laws. We are not going to comply with them before they even try to unconstitutionally put them in place.
Okay, you know, it's always interesting to me. Here's Austin is really going hardcore. I mean hardcore. And all of a sudden the doggone power goes off to him, and his phone lines are disconnected. Guys, have you noticed something? Have you noticed something on my show? Whenever we get preaching real good about stuff like this, you know, have you noticed this really doesn't happen on other shows very often, and it seems to happen all the time on my show, in the Austin show? Well, why is that? Why are we the ones? I mean, I can tell you why. After yesterday's show, these guys are flipping out. They got the monitors turned back on. Like, what the heck? He's talking about interdimensional entities and what they live on and what they eat. He's doing this on a national podcast with millions of listeners. We got to listen to this guy again. And here we go. Austin starts talking about gun control, and all of a sudden, his feed gets cut. Guys, it's so important that we understand something. This is so critical that we all stay together on this. Austin's right. What we have here are algorithms. And they're bits of information is what this is. And what they do, they put them on a graph. And they monitor traffic on the internet. They monitor your phone calls. You guys, you may not realize this, but every single one of you in the United States, all of you, your phone calls, your cell phone calls, your home calls, because of the Patriot Act, are being recorded and listened to. You say, well, that can't be right. That's the way it is. So you don't think they're monitoring this show? With our millions of listeners? This is a big show. So isn't it funny, every time we start talking really good, or I do a show like that yesterday, and all of a sudden I break it down. Yesterday I broke it all down. I went back to Genesis chapter 6. I did all of it. And this is one of these things. You think, well, yesterday's show was way out there, was deep, deep down the rabbit hole. Hello, we're in a deep rabbit hole. We're in it. Gosh. And any of you who've listened to Alt News for any length of time, you realize that this rabbit hole just goes right down deeper, deeper, deeper until, listen to me, it goes to where I went yesterday. It always goes there if you're willing to stop, if you're willing to continue to go.
Okay, I'm back, bud.
Yeah. No, I was just telling the audience, Austin. I was telling them that whenever you start doing stuff like you were doing, talking about gun control, confiscation, or after what I did yesterday, going into detail of what happens in the world as far as how it really works, these guys like to mess with us the following day.
No, it's, you know what I'm saying? My phone, the entire phone system, and I had to manually reboot everything from our phone system. There were Rubens on customers and everything else. The whole phone system went completely shut.
Well, you're still Austin, buddy. You're still breaking up real bad. Todd, let's go ahead and reconnect with Austin one more time because we just lost him again. Let me talk about one other thing here real quick. This is an article that came out today on the DC Clothesline, and it said how Hillary's seances. Now, you heard that right. How Hillary's, this is exactly what I was talking about yesterday. How Hillary's seances led to the rise of the left's new age guru, Marianne Williamson. Now, don't get me wrong. I like some of the stuff that Marianne Williamson says, but she is fringe as far as I'm concerned. She's way, way out there. Now, the article goes on to say, Hillary Clinton held a seance in the White House, period. This is a statement of fact, okay? The seance overseen by Jean Houston, the author of, I'm not going to mention her, I'm not going to even give these books out, encouraged Hillary to contact Eleanor Roosevelt. You hear what I just said? Hillary Clinton was in Verbindung. In contact, Verbindung, in a seance, tied together, that's what Verbindung means, with Eleanor Roosevelt. And they talk about it like it's normal. Hillary and Houston hit it off after the Clintons invited the self-help guru's authors to Camp David. It helped them cope with their defeat. The authors included Marianne Williamson. Marianne Williamson is also reportedly participated in some of Hillary's White House seances. Remember, Hillary Clinton is a Sabbatean witch, okay? When she was in the White House and back in the governor's mansion in Arkansas, used to go every 6 weeks, according to Larry Nichols, to her witch's coven. You can't make this crap up. To her witch's coven, to be in the Bindung, I guess, with these spirits or with her witches, to basically try to influence American politics. She's a full-blown witch. I mean, this is where it comes from. Now, remember, Williamson isn't a fringe character who somehow made it into the debate stage. When she ran for Congress, her backers included Dennis Kucinich, who told supporters, you are the ones who are calling for a reality by the name of Marianne Williamson and Jennifer Granholm, the former governor of Michigan, who headed a key Hillary super PAC. Williamson, according to this article, is a crackpot, but her crackpottery fills the broken china closets of the Democrats. She got this far because the upper echelons of the Democrats don't believe in God. Well, that's not true. Now, I'm going to say that. Now, some of them may be atheists, okay, but a lot of them have a different God. It's Lucifer. When Hillary wasn't trying to commune with Eleanor or with Gandhi, she appeared to share the obsession of John Podesta, her campaign chair, with UFOs. Let's not forget the soul cooking we talked about yesterday. There was bafflement when former majority leader Harry Reid was caught earmarking $22 million to study UFOs earlier this year, which I believe they should. Reid claimed that there was a UFO race between Russia's KGB, which no longer exists, China, and America. That's true, and that was proven and pointed out directly by the book The Day After Roswell with Colonel Corso. 10 million was a Democrat donor interested in UFOs who had written Harry $10,000 worth of checks. The UFO research quickly dived into the paranormal. Listen to this, guys, with what I talked about yesterday, which according to senior managers included studying bizarre creatures, poltergeists, and invisible entities. Are you listening to me? The reports were subcontracted to a research team led by a psychic espionage researcher. Okay? Democrats were twice as likely as Republicans to think the astrology is very scientific, and the Democrats split equally down the middle on whether astrology was or wasn't scientific. Liberals, who are more likely to believe in astrology than conservatives, 43% of liberals believed in astrology was scientific, while only 20% of conservatives did. Now, what's crazy is that 58% of Democrats compared to 37% of Republicans believe in UFOs, and 35% of Democrats and 27% of Republicans believe they experienced paranormal. That's why Marianne Williamson is up there on the debate stage. The only surprise it took this long for a representative of the Democrat Party really is finally to show up. Now, here it is. 70% of Republicans believe in God of the Bible. Only 45% of Democrats do. 39% believe in some other power or spiritual force. 14%, that's the atheists, don't believe in any kind of power. 47% of the white Democrats say religion isn't really important in their lives, so why believe in it? This is the weirdos. This is the new age ones. Spirituality, auras, energy forces, battling dark forces, being attuned to the universe. They believe in, among other things, the founder of the church of today, who lived in a commune and worked as a cabaret singer, who ran a new age bookstore and became a fave of Oprah and Hillary Clinton. Guys, these people are all about the dark side, and they're not about having a relationship with Jesus Christ. They're not about that. This is why Marianne Williamson has these rants about dark psychic forces and force fields related to her politics, or is the socialist conviction that the world needs careful management by the enlightened, which is, of course, the light bearer Lucifer, to cure us of our human nature. Now, all of this stuff just continues to amaze me that these guys are part of the ruling establishment of the United States, and that people like this get on campaign platforms and they basically believe in this strange world that they want to be committed and dedicated to Lucifer, the light bearer. Guys, this is not what we're called to do. We are called to a purpose. You know, we have to be faithful to the Most High God, because faithfulness is what it's all about. If you're faithful to God, He's faithful to you. It's reciprocal, guys. If you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you shall be saved. It's faithfulness. It's back and forth. It's reciprocity. And we have to maintain that in every area of our lives. You're faithful to your wife. She's faithful to you. You're faithful to your kids. They're faithful to you. You're faithful to your employees. They're faithful to you. All of this stuff has to be built on reciprocity. And when you get around people that are takers and they basically want to take, 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 and you're a giver, you got to learn very quickly. You got to step away, because givers can't be friends with takers, because they keep taking. The other person keeps giving until the person's given is broke. And this is what happens. This is what the Democratic Party is. The Democratic Party is a group of weirdos dedicated to Lucifer. In most cases, or some kind of weird spiritual force that they don't want to discuss with Lucifer, because they don't want to believe they're hanging out with the dark guy. They don't want to believe all of this stuff. So we have to understand who and what they are, and we have to understand who and what we are in Christ. But Hillary has seances in the White House. There you go. I mean, it's like okay, when Hillary had a seance in the White House, it's like starting of a bad joke. Why do you think I call her the Witch of Benghazi? That's not a metaphor. She's a witch, and she's the one who caused all that death and destruction in Benghazi. Why do you think I called the Gay Kenyan and his transgender wife? It's like Joan Rivers said. I mean, what the heck? These people are here to subvert culture to the best of their ability. This is what they do, and they continue to do it. But I wanted to read this on how Hillary's seances led to the rise of the less new age guru, Marianne Williamson. Now, also remember, the right and the powers that be that publish this on all these different websites now, they also don't like the fact that she's pointing out some of this stuff in these dark unseen realms. Now, I gotta say that about her. If she's talking about some of the stuff that we talked about yesterday, and she's not supposed to do that because of the spiritual energy and spiritual forces. She's talking about all of this stuff. She's coming at it from the wrong side, because she needs Jesus Christ. But she's talking about stuff. This is like the Book of Enoch being censored. We have to discredit this girl as fast as we possibly can and get her off the debate stage. That's the goal, because they don't want you to think about it. They don't want you to think about that. You're really not putting people in charge who are in charge. It's a rotating little door in D.C. that basically is being used by the Sabbatean Kabbalist Luciferian weirdo things that go bump in the night, druids, to control the groupthink in the brain of the population of the United States and the world. The United States is the most hated country in the world because of our politics. You go to Europe, they hate us. You got to sit there and apologize all the time for our leadership. We invade people because we just get pissed off or we want to control their resources because the bankers control us and they're nothing but they're all based in greed. All right, I'm done pontificating. Austin, what's your next story, bud?
Yeah, also, too, in other news, as far as that, we see a lot going on with the food issues right now. If you guys saw just recently, there was another 700 pounds of beef and pork that was officially recalled, primarily beef, from mysteriously being contaminated with human blood. They said that one of the employees suffered a cut at a factory, basically, with U.S. foods, and the food was sent out to Alabama, Florida, Georgia, Mississippi, and Tennessee. So they were going in and recalling all this food. Now, you understand, and we've seen this now repeatedly over the last year, year and a half, we constantly see these big recalls coming through. We saw it with flour before that. We saw it with some chicken before that. And, of course, sometimes things happen. But as you know, the USDA, pretty much their primary goal and aspect is very similar to what the FDA is. They protect the massive corporations that are the top, top heavy hitters at the top to make sure they never have any issues. And essentially, in most cases, they end up running everything. Earlier this year, it was reported that many small-scale farms that have long produced clean food that's not contaminated have been going out of business at the same time that massive conglomerates are continuing to boom, with a lot of these small-scale farms having shortages and also having recalls for very, very minor, if any, issues whatsoever. One individual, Chris Peterson, a third-generation pig farmer who's recently forced into bankruptcy, he said, "We're going down the same road as the Russians with a collective farm system, thanks to the corrupt USDA policies, supports only industrial farming. There, the government controlled it. Here, it's the corporations. According to the official data from the USDA, just four large firms control over half of all U.S. chicken production, 66% of pork production, and 85% of beef production. This same almost monopoly also controls 75% of the soybean seeds and a whopping 85% of the corn seed sales. This incremental takeover of agricultural throughout America has been a long time coming and continues to ratchet up with the blessing of the USDA. In time, there will be no more small farmers in the United States if this continues to go on." Now, that's just what's been going on. And then you look at what we have seen out in the Midwest right now with a massive amount of food shortage because of not being able to plant anything, all the flooding, to the point that the USDA even had to come out and said that crops were not planted on 19.4 million of acres of U.S. farmland this year. This is one of the highest in history, and according to the new report, based on it, this marks the most prevented plant acre reported since the USDA began releasing its report in 2007. So they started this report in 2007 on how many acres have been planted. Since they started that report in 2007, this is the worst it has ever been, with 19.4 million acres not even planted in the United States this year. So when you start putting the pieces of the puzzle together and you see a lot of these recalls, some of them may be necessary, some of them may be knee-jerk reactions by the USDA. A lot of the ones that are ironically big recalls are on a lot of these smaller companies, not the top big four corporations that essentially run all this stuff from the top down. And so you look at that, you see consistently how they're continuing to buy out and buy out and buy out and buy out and expand their reach into everything with all their different acquisition mergers and buyouts. Then you start seeing the aspect of what we've seen here with the lowest amount of planting in pretty much U.S. recorded history now by the USDA, all this stuff is starting to focus on a food shortage. That's what the big picture of this is, guys. So would you have to look at every single aspect of what's going on, and when you start looking at the fact that they're calling to regulate body armor, they're calling to start seizing firearms against anybody that they deem to be unnecessary, and back to what I was saying before until I was so rudely cut off by whoever cut my phone system off earlier, because we don't have issues with this phone. Whole office went down here. Whole office phone system went down. We have to stand firm and make sure our voice is heard on what we will and will not accept. We made a very, very strong stance in 2013. When Sandy Hook shooting happened, and there were so many unanswered questions that nobody would address, nobody would talk about, nobody would even discuss, and anytime we brought something up, they said we were a conspiracy theory. Now we see the same thing in El Paso with all these incongruencies nobody will address. Well, back in 2013, if you guys remember correctly, the U.S. American population went out and bought over 20 million firearms, and I think it was roughly over 80 million AR-15 magazines in less than a one-year period, all because the gay Kenyan in office decided that he was going to make a statement about making assault weapons ban come back to light and a magazine ban, and the U.S. population got so rattled and so armed so abruptly that they could not even keep up with production in the gun industry or the ammunition industry or the magazine industry. We bought them out that hard to the point I personally saw 5.56 ammunition going for $1 a bullet at gun shows at that point in time, and P-Mags that were going for $60 per magazine. That's how aggressive the American population was in not allowing ourselves to be disarmed. Now, ironically, this is what Dad said earlier, this is what I want to tie into. We cannot allow ourselves to become so complacent because of the QAnon BS or of the Donald Trump reality show or of everything else that's going on right now to sit back and say, oh, it's fine. Trump's in office. We don't have to do anything. We just can sit back, watch our TV, chill out, pretend nothing's going on, because that's what we've done for the last 2 years. Longer than that now. You guys, everybody, we've all did it in the beginning. Everybody was talking about QAnon. Oh, the deep state's going to get, you know, taken over. All this stuff's going to happen. We don't do anything. Trump's going to come in and save us. Well, now we've pretty much seen that's not what's happening, and that's not what's going to happen at all. So we have to get back on our horse, wake back up, get alert, and remember the fact that us, the American population, is a government by the people, for the people. We are the government in essence. We have the ability to speak our minds and make things happen, especially with the population density that we have in this current country. So that is what I want to touch base on with the food shortages, with the talk about gun confiscation, with these red flag gun laws, and everything in between. Because remember, guys, if they tried to do a full-blown gun confiscation in one fell swoop, it would be World War III, essentially. It really would. That's what it would escalate into, because not only would we have a giant civil war, we'd have UN peacekeepers, and then we'd most definitely have China or Russia or both try to take advantage of the situation. And that's just something that I don't think is something the globalists want, considering the fact that they're putting so much money and resources into the infrastructure of the United States. They're betting long. They're betting that we're not going to do anything. They're betting that we're going to be complacent and allow ourselves to be disarmed. They're betting that they're going to get 5G and then 6G in place, and nobody's going to say anything about it. And they're going to bet that we're going to get chipped so they can control all of our thoughts. And they're going to bet that we're not going to do a single thing about it. So we have to take a step back and answer those questions on whether or not we are okay with that, if we are going to allow them to do it. Because remember, all this stuff that happens is voluntary. Remember that. We allow them to put gun red flag gun laws into place. We allow them to start banning things. We allow them to start going in and not allowing us to get religious vaccinations. And we allow our children to go get these toxic vaccinations. All these things are allowed. We permit it. So if we can permit it, that means we can no longer permit it if we don't want to. So that's just something I wanted to really touch base on and kind of finish my thoughts of that last talk, dude.
That's excellent, Austin. And, you know, we have to understand something here as Americans. We've got really good DNA. I mean, we've got good DNA. I mean, yeah. We are the DNA of the people in Europe who scream, Genug, which means enough in German. The Germans came over here by the millions, and by the millions, and the Europeans came over by the millions in the 1800s.
They came over here because they had a promise of a hope and a future. They were the entrepreneurs. We have an entire country of entrepreneurs in our DNA stream who had enough of tyranny, who came over and said, enough. We're willing to sell ourselves into indentured servitude for 7 years just to get out of this mess in Europe. That's who we are. And they had to dumb us down with fluoride, dumb us down with vaccines, dumb us down with all these psychotropic drugs, and now opiates. Billions and billions of opiates were given to the American population. Billions. They had to dumb us down. They had to get us addicted. They had to take us out of the fight. Think about this. Out of food, rural unrest, all of a sudden you hear, coming down the road, you hear a big MRAP and a big buses behind the MRAP. Beam on the side, everything's painted white. And the loudspeaker says, American citizens, we know you're hungry. We know you need help. We are here. FEMA's arrived. We're going to help you. We have food. We have water. We have medical supplies. All you have to do is just get on the buses, and we're taking you to the FEMA camp, and we're going to give you something to eat, place to sleep. We're going to give you electricity. Stopping here to let you on the bus. And as they pile into the buses, just like they piled onto the trains going to Auschwitz, you'll see that you don't want to go to crime scene number two. It ain't the place to go, and it's not the place to be. Guys, these people are nefarious. These are psychopaths. They don't have your best interest at heart. It's all about bringing in their new world order under their Noahide laws, under Lucifer, under an Antichrist. That's what it's all about. It's always been that way for hundreds of years. And guys, like yesterday we were talking, all of this Druidic stuff, all of the stuff in the Old Testament, all the way up, and it re-emerged in fullness as far as its big push in 1666 with Tabitha Sabatine Levy. I mean, I talked about this so many times, saying he was the Messiah. And he said you have to make everything as black and as dark and inverted as you possibly can in order to have God come in. You have to go to the bottom of the doggone hole so God can emerge and bring you out of the hole. What kind of sick crap is that? That's nowhere even in the Word. But he was that weirdo. And then he'd think he was bad. 100 years later, Jacob Frank, he started it up. He's the boy who bought the Rothschild Mark banking cartel into the full satanic blown-out mess that they're in. All of these guys are nuts. And you think about it, this is all what's going on with Jeffrey Epstein. All of this satanic worship is based in pedophilia because of the energy feeding these demons. I talked about it yesterday. And all of this stuff is being hidden from us. That's why they're trying to shut Marianne Williamson up. I know she's got some stuff I don't believe in, but sometimes she says some pretty doggone good stuff. And why? Because she sees things differently. Though she's twisted it under, she needs Jesus. She sees it from a spiritual standpoint. Now, I'm not promoting her, but I'm just saying they're doing everything they can, left and right, to shut her up. By the way, let me give you some statistics. Big Pharma sold 76 billion opium pills in the United States, and the food and drug and the drug flood continues, and the Food and Drug Administration allows it. 76 billion opium pills? This is nuts. Jeffrey Epstein's lawyers, by the way, requested that he be removed from Suicide Watch. You know, it's kind of hard to do a body switch with a body double when you got people staring at you on cameras and doing a Suicide Watch, isn't it, my friends? California schools now are teaching kids that capitalism is racist and that history is sexist. And let's not forget white privilege. As protesters mobbed the Hong Kong airport, China moved troops to its border, and the U.S. Navy ships refused entry to the Hong Kong ports. Isn't that interesting what's going on in China and Hong Kong right now? Trump haters made death threats against the family of the couple who died in the El Paso shooting after viral video with Trump goes out. So now they're saying they're going to kill people from the families of the shooters. This is just... Northern Mariana Islands, a commonwealth of the U.S., is overwhelmed with expectant mothers and wants to end birth tourism. There's another wild one. By the way, all of these stories that I'm covering today are posted on the Health Masters news site. San Antonio, shots have been fired at the ICE building, blamed on political rhetoric and the media misinformation about ICE. New American. Trump gets pushback from the NRA, senators, 2A organizations, and opinion molders over his push to implement new draconian gun laws. Guys, really think about all of the stuff that's happening. Oh, and the one thing I want to say one more thing about, I'm going to let Austin finish up the show today. Exclusive. Jeffrey Epstein had a painting of Bill Clinton wearing a blue dress and red heels and lounging in the Oval Office inside his Manhattan mansion. These are a bunch of sick weirdos, guys. Now, I'm not making this up. They show the picture of it's a painting. The visitor reveals this bizarre image inside the pedophile's $56 million lair. Jeffrey Epstein had a painting of Bill Clinton wearing a blue dress and red heels, looking extremely provocative, inside of his Manhattan home. Source who saw it during a business meeting told the Daily Mail about its existence. The blue dress seemed to be a pointed reference to Clinton's former intern, Monica Lewinsky, who wore a blue dress during their tryst in the White House. The painting was snapped inside the pedophile's mansion while he was running a sex trafficking ring of underage girls. Gosh, are you kidding me? No, I'm not kidding you. You can't make... These people are so weird, they're willing to have pictures commissioned and paintings commissioned of Bill Clinton lounging with red heels and a blue dress. I mean, gosh. I mean, how sick do they get? They're so sick. It's like we have to start telling sick jokes about how sick they are. You know, Bill Clinton is so sick that. Hillary is so sick that. No, we're not going to do sick jokes today. Guys, I love you. I had the opportunity to pray for you this morning. And didn't know this show was going to go so wild today. But you guys are awesome. I mean, I just want you to know something. When you're in covenant with the Most High God, you've got God on your side. And you're in complete protection. And these guys know that. And guys, I love you. I appreciate you. Thank you for your huge response about yesterday's show. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to pray for you. You guys are awesome. I love you guys. Austin, I'll do the write-up. I'll talk to you guys tomorrow.
Oh, absolutely. Also, too, a few other news stories here. Also, as Dad was talking about with China, now tens of thousands of Chinese People's Armed Police troops are amassing inside a sports center just a few kilometers away from Hong Kong. They haven't been released yet on whether or not they're going to use this against the protesters. But again, this is probably a very, very touchy subject because these same police officers, or at least the same group, the military that is in there right now, are the same ones that carried out the notorious Tiananmen Square massacre in 1989, which I've talked about that before. That was absolutely horrific. And also, to another news, in Albany, the court hearing yesterday that was discussing the religious exemption drew more than 1,000 people to Albany, where they protested the new law ending religious exemptions to New York school vaccine requirements. The hearing was a chance for acting Albany County Supreme Court Justice Denise Hartman to hear arguments from attorneys about why she would or wouldn't grant a preliminary injunction blocking the law ahead of the upcoming school year. And so far, she has not made a decision as of yesterday, indicating she hoped to make a determination on the preliminary injunction before the start of school or within the 14-day window after school starts. This is something by New York to keep following. This is something they're trying to push in Florida. They've been trying to push this in a lot of states now to remove the religious vaccination, to try to force people to get all these shots and these kids to get shot up with all these vaccines just so they can get into public school. Also, too, in other news, you guys have probably seen the market has been going absolutely berserk as the manipulation seems like they're getting ready to either pull the plug on it. But one thing that is for sure is the yield curve we saw yesterday is a blaring recession warning. If you guys know, the spread between the U.S. 2-year and 10-year yields on Wednesday turned negative in the first time since 2007. Now, the reason why this is so important is because this development has occurred ahead of each and every U.S. recession for the last 50 years, sometimes leading by as much as 24 months ahead of time. But in most cases, usually right at about a year. When you see the 2-year and 10-year yield turn negative, you usually, in most cases, from what we've seen, if you look at the market, it's about 12 months before we go into a full-blown recession again, just like we saw back in 2007. Exact same thing happened. The end of 2008 completely went sideways. I have to look at a number. I think it was like 14 or 15 months at that point. So the reason why I bring that up is be very, very cautious in the market right now. Be very, very cautious of your investments right now. now. If you've got profits on things, it's my opinion, you pull them out. I've got a few things floating around that I'm probably about to get everything retracted back in and, you know, get some things back aside. Gold and silver, again, showing very, very strong growth again. I'm not sure what's going to go on with them, but I highly expect gold to be back in the 2,000 range, if not higher, and silver to be over 50 once it starts to go sideways in the markets again. You guys remember we saw a lot of that back in 2011 when those numbers hit. Same thing with platinum going up to, I think it peaked out at 2,100, 2,200 the last time that happened as well. So again, just be aware, make good financial decisions right now. I wouldn't be too risky with a lot of stuff. And also too, of course, have some food together. It's, you already see, I already went over the articles of the USDA today. We are going to see a massive food shortage. And you got to think about it. If we're looking at a food shortage, which is probably anywhere from a 12 to 18 month lag with what was grown this year, and that kicks in the same time we see the fact that we have this 2 and 10 year yield turn negative, which means probably got about another 12 months for another recession. All this stuff is starting to get lined up for a massive, massive, massive collapse next year. Now, I'm not making predictions. I'm not telling you what it's going to do, but I'm saying this is what it's pointing to. If all this stuff lines up at the same time, 2020 is going to be one heck of a year. So be prepared for it, because the more self-sufficient we are, the more ability we have to defend ourselves, the better ability we have to feed ourselves and continue drinking purified water and having the ability to completely be self-sufficient without any support or any outside further support. Having a good local community, know people, the people that are prepared, people are ready to go. The fact that you know you aren't going to have those people on your doorstep after 3 or 4 days begging for food is very, very important. So be sure, look at all this stuff going on right now, and also, too, make sure you're staying as healthy as possible. With Health Master Supplements, we do the best we can to provide you with the highest quality supplements we can produce in the world. Lots of specials going on right now, including the probiotic $350 billion on sale for over 10% off right now. If you don't know much about that product, I suggest you read about it on the website. It is an incredible product, just incredible results of what it produces and what it provides. And, of course, lots of other products on sale right now, including the CBD hemp oil, 3-pack and 6-packs, the Levita support kit, and the beet juice powder, where I can have a couple more sales starting up this week and next week with some different products that are coming out. So be sure to check out for the website on that at healthmasters.com. We appreciate you. Thank you for everything you do, and thank you for your email support, prayers, and sign up for our free weekly newsletter. Have a blessed, safe, awesome night. We'll talk to you again tomorrow, as always.